not here, but I want to thank the public for stepping in last week when I was absent. Yes, I will give you an update. I have a current one as of this.
Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now understand in this passage, you know, the audience, the intended target of the writing of this was the Jews, was the Israelites. And so they had old covenant, now it was new covenant. That was the text. And so in the first verse that I read there, he takes them back to the old covenant. Remember when they were in Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19? God said to them, prepare yourself, cleanse yourself, because in 3 days I'm going to meet up with you. Psalm 68, and the saints speaks in it, 68 and say, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. The mountain was shaken, but God was not. The earth quaked, the people quaked. I don't know what Moses thought, but God wasn't shaken. But he was moving. There's a lot of things currently being shaken on a global scale. Amen. At an accelerated rate. A lot of things being shaken. But God is not. And neither is his kingdom. His kingdom, in this passage says, will never be shaken. Because when you have the kingdom of God, you have God. And when you have God, you have his kingdom. He had his son on the throne. It cannot be shaken. So when you're shaking, God isn't shaking, but he's moving. When Mount Sinai quaked and shook, was burning in the fire, God was moving. Fast forward a few thousand years, Calvary. He was shook. The tomb's open. It was an earthquake when Jesus passed away. The earth was shaken. The rocks were rent. Because God was moving. His kingdom was getting established in a great way. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. He overcame sin. He overcame the kingdom of darkness. Everything that could be shaken was shaken. Because God was moving. But he was not shaken. So now, when there's unpleasant shaking in your life, what's being shaken? Susan picked up on a thing this morning in prayer meeting, because what caused my son's fever to spike was yesterday he refused a painkiller. He didn't want the Advil. You know, you know my son, he's got a strong character. That's okay. No go places. And so because of some of those meds, the fever showed up. You see, sometimes we put a lid on things. We medicate things. We suppress things because then things are just way easier and way better. Just, you know, we can almost pretend it's not there. And then comes the shaking. And what can be shaken gets shaken because God wants to uncover something that needs to get shaken up. What's God shaking in your life? Now you're doing all you can to kind of keep the lid up. No, you cannot. You know, when the lid comes off the can of worms, you just can't get them all back in. What's he shaking? What's he trying to do? What can be shaken will be shaken, but what cannot be shaken will not shake. The kingdom of God, he wasn't being shaken. And if it's not the kingdom of God, do you want it? What are you trying to hide? What are you suppressing? Perhaps there's things that can be shaken and that need to be removed. Now, 2022 so far has been a year of shaking, hasn't it? But like no other, at least in my recent history, like no other. Recently, Sri Lanka lost its leader, stepped down. Now, did you know Sri Lanka was the country to be tested, the number one, for the reset? No, I'm not politically correct here this morning. Is that okay?
Yep.
Sri Lanka was a test case to prove the value and the beauty of the reset. Back in 2018, the Prime Minister said, this is how I will make my country rich by 2020. Right? They stormed the palace. He's gone. That's only one. The Prime Minister of England resigned. Boris Johnson resigned. Yeah. Israel's going through a shaking. Astoria, I heard yesterday, the day before, leader stepped up. What's going on? What's God doing? Holland. Dutch farmers shutting down the capital this past week because somehow they did a queue of a Canadian convoy. Someplace to find a Canadian flag. Oh, I know, this is, you know, I'm not supposed to rebel, I'm not supposed to. No, this is about the kingdom. God will use a donkey to speak the truth. He will use a non-believing individual on the West Coast to do a God move for the Canadian convoy. And he will use farmers that are being threatened that by 2030, 50% of the nitrogen needs to be diminished or removed. Farmers out of business. And you know what they're doing, right? They're buying up land. Trying to create a famine and a food shortage. Roe v. Wade overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court a number of weeks ago. And a few other favors thrown the way of the church. What can be shaken is being shaken. Who would have imagined that a prime minister of a country, or two, or three, in a short order, would be out of the position. Or bringing the country to a standstill because farmers have had enough. Or Roe v. Wade finally overturned. Who would have thought, or we would have hoped for, prayed for it? It happened. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, as I said, the context is Jewish readers, contrasting the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. But it says that the God voice speaking the gospel of the kingdom of God must be listened to with even greater attention and faith than the law spoken at Sinai. That's in the passage. If he who spoke from earth, if that caused people to tremble, how much more he who is in heaven? Well, who is it who is in heaven when we see that's God the Father? Well, the context, I believe, says something different. Who is the he in that verse? I believe it tells us it's Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant, whose blood speaks better things than that of Abel. And by the way, it wasn't Abel's death, not that blood. It was his sacrifice. There's testimonies in heaven. And so if the Israelites were not to refuse Moses, as he represented God and bring the law, it says they were given to the angels as well, how much more shall we not refuse him who speaks from heaven now? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Carolyn, for being willing to play that song. Amen. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Amen. That Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe the context tells us it's Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. He is Lord of Lords. Who's greater than he is? given unto me in heaven and on earth. He's the Savior of the world, wishing that none should be lost, but all come to repentance. And that all those, whether in Muslim countries, African countries, atheist countries, communist countries, where they will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. And Satan can't stop. He's been conquered, he's been defeated. And so he's speaking from heaven. And it says, there was no escaping when God spoke on earth. And even more so will there be no escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now we know what men are doing today. Men are pouring themselves into the seat of God. Right?
Yep.
They are. Trying to create humans of labs. Trying to change the DNA of human beings to become something other than image bearers of God. Seeking to tell us they know best what's good for this world, to diminish the world population by a great amount. Because somehow this world can't carry it. You know all this stuff. Putting themselves in the seat of God as if God does not exist. But pretending God does not exist doesn't mean he's gone. And it doesn't change the fact he's on the throne. And it doesn't change the fact he still loves this world. And it doesn't change the fact he's in the process of saving the world. And it doesn't change the fact of the nations that are promised to him for inheritance. And it doesn't change the fact that he's sovereign. And no matter what man does, God is going to do what he's determined to do. And so everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
Right.
And so you need to stop shaking. Unless it's God's shaking what he needs to eliminate. You are representing the kingdom of God. So this is God's promise and response in this passage. Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And then it says, whatever will be shaken will be relocated. So what things will be shaken? This may challenge you a little bit. Maybe not. What things will be shaken? Well, the first one probably not. It says things that are made. By the way, it doesn't say things that are created. Okay? The Greek word is not there made. Things that are made. We can't create. We can only make things from what God has created. Right? And so it's the physical things. Things that are made. So man's doings. Okay, if you take that word, it's like 500 sometimes in the New Testament, that word made. And it always pertains to doing. Things that we do. So it's physical structures of all kinds. Well, we can understand that. God's going to shake that, right? In Haiti in 2010, they found out how lousy their border was. Many lives lost. Or in India. I'm not sure how many buildings could take a shaking over here in our cities. Physical structures of all kinds. Inventions. Manufacturing developments. Man's making. If you think of technological advancements in communication alone, you know, you start with the television. Then, I mean, the phone, but you see the television with a telephone. Television, computers, internet, GPS, social media will be shaken. Your smartphone will be shaken. And it'll be relocated. All things that can be shaken and remove. They'll be shaken. But it goes further than that. The shaking also includes man's ideas. What precedes the Great Reset? What precedes Roe v. Wade? What precedes these pursuits of global, you know, the global warming agenda? What precedes that? An idea. A worldview, a particular position of how it's supposed to be. Made includes principles of the world. First principles, elements of knowledge. Things that I have heard. So if you think of a building, it started with an idea. We need this kind of rebar, this strength of concrete, this is how people got to dig. They start early understanding this in others, in the construction trade. You know what it takes to get this done. It's an element of knowledge, it's principles of the world, it's under, but also underlying or basic religious ideas. Jesus confronted man's doings all the time. He confronted the Pharisaical ideologies. And God says, they'll be shaken. So it's any first thing. Let me give you a parallel passage that I would encourage you for your own further study. 2 Peter 3 verse 10, this is what it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements, keyword elements, will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Okay. Word elements is used 6 times in the New Testament. What do you think the word element means? Your first. Physical structures or ideas? You can talk after me. What do you think? What have you been led to believe most of your life? Physical structures. If I were to give you a test and you put that as an answer, I'd have to mark it wrong. It does not pertain to physical structures. I am not saying physical structures won't burn. But in that verse, Peter is talking about ideologies. He's talking about elements of knowledge. He's talking about principles of the world. In other words, when the shaking comes, other world views will be destroyed. Amen. That's bigger than the physical building. That's bigger than what your eyes can set itself on. That means the ideas behind the global reset, digital currency, and the virus protection, so-called, the ideas behind that will burn up. That's what Peter says. Let me encourage you, be the Berean. Go to your Strong's Accordance or your tools, look up this word, see where else it's used, and you'll find that in the other 5 places it's used different. You cannot come away with that as a physical something. So do your own study. So examples. The intent of a global reset has underlying basic principles. Global warming has underlying basic principles. Lockdowns. What's the basic principle? Fear. Control. Lies. It says they'll be burnt up. How about reduction of nitrogen use in farmland? By the way, our Prime Minister wants to do the same, but it's only 30%. That's 20%. What's behind it? An ideology. How about abortion? Your Bible tells you what can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. And it says, therefore, you will receive the kingdom of God which cannot be shaken. How about food shortage? There's a gem behind that as well. But then it says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. So why? I think that's a simple one to understand. Where does all this come from anyway? You have kingdom of God, you have kingdom of darkness. The battle is in the second half, being fought out in this world. So then it says this in verse 27, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, and we talked about that, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now Mount Sinai, the mountain shook. God did not. Anything made by man, physical or ideas, can be shaken, but what is of God cannot be shaken. And that's why it says, therefore, since you are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken,
Last week, Sunday, in Colorado, was a tent meeting, a revival meeting, led by Mario Rill. They had 1,500 volunteers here for this. The tent seated, I think, about 4,000 to 5,000 people, but the tent couldn't hold them all. They set up chairs outside the tent. When the worship team started, the presence of God flooded that place. You probably read some. Some of you read this. Mario, who's an evangelist, went to the scriptures and lifted up the name of Jesus. He lifted up the kingdom of God over those people. And then when he gave an altar call, about 800 people came to the front, giving their lives to Christ. Following that, they went outside to pray for each one of those individuals. And then there was a second wave of God who came down. And here's a, this is verbatim. After they were all prayed for, God showed up again. He began healing people. People who couldn't walk began to walk. Cancers were destroyed. Backs and heart issues were healed. A man who had a growth in his throat and who couldn't sing was healed by the Lord Jesus during the closing worship song. You see, what can be shaken will be shaken. But what is of God cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. When someone gets saved, the finished work of Jesus Christ is given, applied to the individual, and they're saved. Can't be shaken. Oh, I know. My father, who was raised in a conservative church, I talked to him this past week. He's declining in health. I'm not sure how much longer he has to live. He's 89 years old. And I talked to him about, Dad, are you ready to go? And he's got this up and down. Some days he has peace and some days he doesn't go. And he says to me, "Bill, I can't say that I'm complete. I believe he has the Spirit of God. I believe Jesus died for this man. And if he's saved, he's saved. He's not unsaved. No matter how it feels. No matter what he tells me. No matter what doubts creep up in his mind." You see, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. When you're saved, and you're saved, and if you're here this morning, you're wondering, am I a child of God? How do you know? Young people, kids, how do you know? What are you going to tell your mom? What do you tell your dad when they ask you? How do you know? What's the message of the kingdom? What's the gospel message of the kingdom? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. Now, if I go back to my father, or even in an environment, they would say to me, but how do I know if I'm repentant? How do I know if I'm repentant or not? How do I know God is forgiving me? I don't feel it. As we say, the Bible never talks about feeling it. If God says it, it's unchangeable. You can't shake it. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says, when you do the will of God, when you love those who are hard to love, when you forgive those who don't deserve to be forgiven, when you go the extra mile and say, "I'll go one more mile," when you do those things, you cannot be shaken. When you sow the seed of the Word of God, it cannot be shaken. Anytime, in any place, you could just follow the Sermon on the Mount for the rest of your life, those three chapters, and say, "This is how I'm going to live." That is unshakable. The same. But anything less, anything different,
Well, you say, I trust God, but I fear this. No, you're not trusting God. Any area where you're operating in ungodly fear, you're not trusting God. You say, Bill, you don't understand. You know, I live with this person. I work for this person. I live beside this person. I can't trust them. Okay? But how are you living? Well, we gotta protect this. You're not trusting God. Well, you see, you know, don't cast the pearl before the swine and find the trouble. Okay? If you're trusting God, would you leave the results in? Would you? Would you? You know, I don't know what's how it's going to turn out, okay? I know. We'd like to know what tomorrow comes. We were believing my son would be in the hospital and out in a couple of days. Set back this long. We're going to fear.
Thank you.
What a message. There's probably a million ways you could follow that message up. It's a real dilemma. Did you know that? I don't know how many of you remember this. Probably a lot of you won't, because in the old days, they used to have something called a promise box. You know what a promise box is? It was a square box, and it had loads of 100 or more of tiny punched holes right the way through it. And in each of those holes was a tiny thin piece of paper rolled up so that it would fit in. And on it was a promise. And people that used a promise box would get up every morning and they would punch out one of those promises and they'd read it and they would be claiming that promise for themselves. It's not a great idea, eh? Don't you think? Very nice. You don't see them around much these days. But I can tell you one promise that you'll never find in any of those promise boxes. You ready? This one. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." I guarantee you, I'll pay you money if you find it in one of those promise boxes. My money is quite safe and secure. But I truly believe that right now, one of the things that is being shaken is the church. The church is being shaken. Do you believe that? Put your hand up if you believe the church is being shaken. Put your hand up if you're being shaken. You know that God is shaking you. Another analogy for being shaken, I believe, is the threshing floor. Now, the threshing floor is not... It's mentioned a number of times, about 18 times in the Bible, I think. And a threshing floor, pressure is used on the wheat to separate that which is useful from that which is useless. Did you know that? And when a sledge is run over it, great pressure is applied to separate the husk or the chaff from the seed. And then when they're crushed and separated, the whole thing is thrown up in the air and the seed comes back down and the chaff blows away by the wind. Do you know what the wind is in that analogy? It's the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we are all believing for a great harvest to come. Prophetically, God has spoken to many people. I believe it in my heart. There's a harvest coming that's greater than anything that we could ever dream or ask or imagine. But I want to say this today, that every harvest pays a visit to the threshing floor. And I believe that this harvest is coming. I think nothing will stop it. But I think right now, prophetically, we are in a season where God is threshing his church. And the reason you thresh is to separate the useful from the useless. And very often the way that happens is God applies pressure in your life. We don't like it. We don't want to hear that promise, "In this world you shall have tribulation," but we're going through it. I don't know. It's different for every one of us because we all have different areas where God is pointing things out and fingering things in our life to say, "Hey, do you know that's not good? We need to deal with this now. We've put it off for a long time. I want to help you in that area." And that's what I'd like to pray for today, because we are part of the shaking. The church is being shaken. I want to tell you, there are some churches in a while that will no longer exist. Did you know that? Because the shaking is going to take them out. I don't believe we're one of those churches by any stretch of the imagination, but we're going to experience a shaking. I'd like us to stand. I'd like to pray for all of us, including myself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. Lord, we believe it's a timely word. We believe we're living in the middle of the